Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro in studio with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What do you do when your life and marriage are hit hard? Suddenly, with a phone call about your child that will change your future permanently. How do you stay united and cope with the loss and unbearable pain each day? This is the story of Pat and Tammy McLeod, a family that experienced the unfailing love of God through life's greatest trials. Before we go into our testimony, we pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Christ, no matter what you are going through. He died on the cross for your sins. He died for mine. He shed his blood. He was buried, but we believe he was raised on the third day, and today he is calling you. Our guests today, Pat and Tammy McLeod, are chaplains at Harvard for CREW, an interdenominational campus ministry. They co-founded the Mamalodi Initiative, an organization focused on improving the lives of residents in South Africa. Pat holds a master's in theological studies, a master's in science and religion, and a PhD in practical theology from Boston University. Tammy received her master's in spiritual formation from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. They both live in Massachusetts with their family. Please welcome Pat and Tammy.
Thank you.
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
Should I say aloha?
Aloha.
Aloha.
From Boston.
Yes, from Boston.
From Boston. We sit here in the wintry, you know, 72 degree weather.
Is it that cold?
My gosh, it's been a
no
hard
wonder I
day.
Have on a little sweater.
So let you know, we have so much to cover. Want to hear your testimony, God's glory, God's miracles. Let's start where you began. Where did you both grow up?
I grew up in Hanover, Pennsylvania. And it's rolling farmland, a rural area. And we had a very simple life. I enjoyed being outdoors and walking in the woods. And I enjoyed going to church when I was little. So all that I have pretty much from the past are good memories of being a child in this place.
And Pat, did you grow up as well?
I'm actually from the mountains of Montana. I was born in Kalispell, Montana. Raised, though, most of my life in Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Now, who influenced you the most, Pat, when you were growing up in Montana or Wyoming?
I had a very good relationship with my dad. And without a doubt, he's probably had the greatest impact on the person that I am.
In what way?
He was a coach, a teacher. Well, he was an outstanding coach. He kind of made a living out of turning people. Very similar to your program byline. He made a living of turning potential into performance. Like he helped people reach their God-given potential, and he had a way of seeing it in them and pulling it out of them. I felt like I grew from, you know, within that experience myself, and I saw it take place in the lives of a lot of lives that he touched in his lifetime.
Lonnie, I love that, turning potential
into performance.
I love that. I've not heard that before.
Yeah, that's an absolute quotable word.
Yes.
Thank you, Tammy. Who influenced you most as you were growing up?
My parents influenced me the most when I was younger, but the person who influenced me most in my college days was the person who introduced me to the person of Jesus, and I will never forget that person. Changed my life forever.
Now, how did you come to that moment when mm-hmm. you gave your life to Christ?
First, my sorority sister asked me three tough questions. Why are you here? Where are you going? And what makes you happy?
Mm.
So I went home that Christmas in between my sophomore semesters, and I tried to write out the answers to her questions.
Mm.
I wrote about relationship with my family, boyfriend, achievements in academics and athletics. And I thought in those things I'd find the answers to her questions, but I didn't.
Mm.
And so I remember being so frustrated, I took the pieces of paper on which I was writing and I threw them across the room.
Mm.
And I just yelled out this prayer, "What's missing, God?" And I went back to college. And in the dorm lobby, a woman was sitting, and I asked her, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "I'm taking leadership surveys." And I said, "Oh, can I take one?" So I took her leadership survey, and the last question said, "What do you think about Jesus as a leader?" And I said, "I think he was a great leader." And she said, "Would you like to be in a Bible study then?"
Wow.
And I didn't tell her this, but I did not know what the word Bible study meant. Mm. I had never been in one before. But I thought, I will try this because I'm asking God what's missing.
Mm.
So I go to this small group of people, and for the first time, I start reading the Bible.
Wow.
And I loved it so much that I just kept going back week after week, learning and learning and growing. And eventually she said, "Would you like to go to a retreat?" And I said yes. And at that retreat was the first time I ever heard how to have a relationship with Jesus. Mm. So the person who was speaking just shared that God loves us, but our sin has separated us from him.
Mm.
And I had heard about God's love as I sat in church growing up. The second thing he talked about was that sin that cuts us off from God, and I also had heard about that as I sat in church. The third thing that he talked about was also not new to me.
Mm.
It was that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins,
mm.
and so that was something I had also heard, but the fourth point was totally new to me. I thought that because I sat in a church, I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the fourth point is that we just need to individually receive the gift that Christ gives us by dying on the cross for our sins. And so he asked us if we wanted to do it that night. So that night at the retreat, I prayed and asked Christ to come into my life and take me where he wanted me to go. And a lot of things changed in my life. Like my not so great actions and my not so great mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But the most interesting thing to me is I started to have this deep love for people,
mm-hmm.
no matter who they were. So they didn't have to be a person of status on the campus,
mm-hmm.
but just I started to love everyone more. And so I was surprised at this new capacity to love inside of me and also to experience God's love.
Mm.
So that person who sat in my dorm lobby, I will be forever grateful for her
right.
because her initiating with me changed my life forever.
Mm-hmm. Tammy, would it be fair to say that, like me, did you grow up in a church-attending family?
Yes, so we went to church every Sunday.
And
but
yet,
I never heard them talk about how to become a Christian.
Or a personal relationship with Christ, see? And
yeah.
there's many listeners out there today, I believe, that are experiencing that. And that was me for 40 years. I loved God. But I had no idea that I could know him personally.
Mm.
So
yes.
Thank you for sharing
Thank you for sharing. That's absolutely so important. I think so important. I wanted to turn and ask Pat the same question. When did you give your life to Christ?
Very similar to Tammy, I was not raised in a Christian home. I actually didn't really attend church, so hardly ever did our family go to church. But we would, and occasionally on a holiday. And so when I got to, but I was still very spiritual, but more in a superstitious way, because I played football and kind of made an idol out of the game of football. Mm-hmm. And so even though I experienced a lot of success in my athletics and academics and socially, I was well-liked, I didn't experience a real sense of meaning and purpose in life. And so I was one of those who's just constantly trying to fill an emptiness in my life with the fulfillment that I thought would come from accomplishing great things and being liked and respected by people. And I thought athletics would be a way of getting both of those. Mm. But for me, probably a key turning point was in my senior year of high school, I suffered an injury at first week of practice for football. And I had hopes to follow in the steps of my brother who went on and he played college and even professional football. And I wanted to be following that trajectory in life. And so when I suffered this injury, it seemed insignificant, but for 2 weeks it was hampering me. And so I went to see a doctor who took an x-ray of it. And when he came back in the room with this very somber look on his face, he said, how long ago did you do this? And I said, 2 weeks. And he showed me the x-ray of my hand that had been shattered, and the bone in my middle finger had been, behind my middle finger had been shattered into 3 pieces. He said, you're going to have to report to surgery at 8:00 in the morning. And I said, well, how soon can I play? And he said, I'm sorry, son, but you're going to have to forget about football. For me, that was a huge thing because my whole life at that point was revolved around going on and playing high school football. College football. Anyway, to make a long story short, I didn't go the next day. That night, I actually went out and I prayed and I said, God, if you could somehow work this out, I promise to give you, I will straighten out my life and I will do all this. And I made this kind of bargain with God. Well, to my surprise, the next morning, my dad said, we're not going to surgery. I'm taking you to another doctor who told me, if you've played for 2 weeks like this and you can play with the pain, we could potentially fix this at the end of the season, or more likely the bone will heal, but your finger will be shorter.
Wow.
And I took that option. And so, but because of that, I became this super religious person and started going to anything that sounded religious. I would have gone to the temple of a Buddhist monk if I would have known one. But I did find myself when I got to college, and I did ended up getting a scholarship to play college football. And when I got there, I was invited by a teammate to a crew meeting, actually for Athletes in Action. And at that meeting, just like with Tammy, it was someone who did then what we do now. He was a chaplain with crew. He asked me the question, if I die tonight, and God said, why should I let you in heaven? What would you say? And I couldn't answer the question. And he said, so, well, how sure are you that you go to heaven? And I said, last week I think I could have made it in, but I'm sure, absolutely sure I wouldn't make it this week. And he said, take this and read it. It was the same thing that Tammy heard at the retreat, a simple, very clear gospel presentation. And I surrendered my life to Christ, and my life has never been the same.
That's amazing. It's so great to hear the stories because today you are doing exactly what helped you to get to where you were able to serve Lord in such a way. And you now get to give that back in spades at a university that absolutely needs crew.
Yes.
We are going to take a break real quick. But as we continue to talk, let's talk a little bit more about what crew has meant in your life. What has it meant? You got involved in that, and what have you seen? What is the fruit of some of the work that you've been able to do with crew, also known as Campus Crusade for Christ? We'll be back. We're here today with Pat and Tammy McLeod. They're both chaplains at Harvard for crew, Campus Crusade for Christ. So much more of their story from a college football player and to a chaplain, a mother and father of many wonderful children, a great story and testimony of God's love. Please stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer in studio for Danny Yamashiro. We're here today talking to Pat and Tammy McLeod, all the way in Boston, Massachusetts. Thank you for being with us. Before we continue, though, I want to just mention that if you would like to hear this entire program, this testimony, amazing testimony, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to Pat and Tammy McLeod. You can download their testimony. You can share the link. Share it with others today, especially those that God places on your heart as you hear what they have gone through and the triumphs in their life. So again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Pat and Tammy McLeod are both chaplains at Harvard for crew. Pat grew up loving the outdoors and sports. He grew up playing football. Both Pat and Tammy gave their lives to the Lord in college and pursued ministry work in campus ministry in college. What happened, Pat, that drew you closer to God and his call on your life?
I mean, I think that ironically, as I mentioned earlier, the game of football with its sort of the insecurities of playing a game that's so violent and where you risk injury. It sort of fed my desire to like make more secure those insecurable things of life, you know. Well, first of all, I did want a God who would protect me and keep me from being injured, but also that would help me become a better football player. And that definitely is what made me so spiritually open. But once I became a follower of Christ, I would say that the things that began to change in my life was this real, you know, I began to realize that the real, let's see, how do I want to say this? It's like the longing that I had to fulfill fulfillment and meaning in life came from another source. It didn't come from accomplishing great things or being well liked by people, but from finding, you know, the God that had created me and just falling really in love with the person of Jesus. That to me, I think more than anything, was the foundation of my early Christian experience, was just getting to know Jesus and just being inspired, compelled, and motivated, loved by him. And that's my story.
And Tammy, how did you get involved in CREW?
So I came to know Christ through the ministry of CREW and became a student leader, grew in my faith. And then I went on a summer mission. And on that summer mission, I remember sitting on the beach thinking about millions and millions of people in the world who don't have any chance to hear about Christ. And I thought, I just want to be a part of helping people come to know him. So I want to give my life to doing that. So my call to full-time ministry with college students came on a summer mission.
Yeah. Where was that mission? What beach?
Wildwood, New Jersey.
Thank you.
It wasn't Waikiki, Honolulu, Hawaii, huh?
I asked because Darren did his summer when he was in college in Hawaii. So I was thinking, beach, were you here? Go ahead.
That is where I also met Pat.
Ah.
We met on that summer mission.
Wow, multiple God wins in one summer mission. God just batted that one out of the ballpark, don't you think? So as you grow in your faith and love for each other and for your campus ministry, what was the greatest challenge to your faith as you walk together through your ministry work?
Good question. Do you have an answer? I mean, without a doubt, for us, the greatest challenge of our lives came when our son Zach was injured 10 years ago. You know, I would feel like we lived a pretty enchanted life. Like we have incredible parents who have all since came to Christ, have come to Christ. They love their families. They loved us. I think we were blessed to have, you know, we had a year outside of college to try to do what we thought we wanted to do career-wise as educators. But, you know, at the end of that year, it was so clear that we had started the ministry in our youth group, in our church, and we'd seen a lot of students in the schools we worked in come to Christ, and we just realized that the thing that we loved most about our week was sharing our faith, not teaching biology or music or math. We just wanted to do that full time, and our church, which was just a small, tiny church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, confirmed that calling that they sent us. And I think, you know, we've had some incredible international opportunities to start campus ministries in places like the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, Japan, Pakistan, and now in South Africa. So our life has been incredibly rich and incredibly blessed, just following Christ wherever he calls us.
When you talk about the time of the challenge and what happened to Zach, your son, take us back there. Take us back to that that day.
With as much as you're comfortable sharing.
With as much as you can, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're an open book. We wrote a book.
I know.
Yes,
I bought your book already.
yeah. Well, I do. I appreciate your sensitivity. It is interesting that how little it takes for me to tear up these days, mm-hmm. you know, like telling our stories. So I appreciate that. Do you want to do it, honey? She likes me to do this part. I'll do this part.
Okay.
So the night of September 5th in 2008, Tammy and I were at the first citywide meeting of our crew ministry in Boston. So there were students from campuses all over the city in an auditorium, and it was like the meeting had just ended. A couple hundred people who were all happy and smiling and laughing and you know, experiencing this reunion, coming together after a long summer, looking, you know, new students were there. And all of a sudden, a Harvard student comes up behind me and interrupts this conversation I'm having, hands me a phone, and says, "Your son Nate has been trying to reach you." He had been trying to call, and both of our phones were tucked away, and so we didn't get his call. But he had called this person because he knew she was there. And when I picked up the phone, they said, "Dad, Zach's been hurt." Zach is his older brother.
Mm.
Nate was home alone. Zach was playing in a football scrimmage a few miles out of town. And Soren was with us. Our daughter Chelsea had just gone off to college. And anyway, Nate was panicked. And he said, "Dad, the parents have been calling. I'm at the home, and parents have been calling. Coaches have been calling. Now the hospital's calling." Mm. He said that Zach collapsed on the football field and that he's being airlifted to a hospital, and that he'll have to undergo an emergency brain surgery, and they need you.
Wow.
And they need you to sign some papers. And so that was like literally in a couple minutes, we were in the car darting in and out of traffic to get to this trauma hospital in Boston that we had never been to before. Someone had to get on the phone and coach us to this place. And when we pulled up to the emergency entrance, there was, you know, five very somber coaches on outside just waiting there for us. And they ushered us up to the pre-op room where Zach sat still with his football cleats on and his football pants.
Excuse me, Pat. I so apologize, but are we talking high school or college?
High school.
Thank you.
He was a high school.
Okay, keep going. Thank you.
Yeah. And then this doctor busts through the door and explains to us that he had a brain bleed, basically a subdural hematoma, and that they needed to open up skull cap and remove that blood to alleviate the pressure that it was putting on the brain and to cauterize vessels if they hadn't already stopped bleeding. Mm. They did. He said this could result in anything from death to full recovery or anything in between. And then he handed us this clipboard and said, "Excuse me, sign here," which we did. And then he went away, and we prayed over Zach, kissed him goodbye, and they wheeled him into the ER. Mm. That was, you know, the short story is that Zach survived that night, but a portion of his brain did not. And our faith and our family, our marriage has survived, but everything has changed.
Wow, that is amazing and hard to hear.
So he was like 17?
Yeah, just before
he was 16 when he was injured and turned 17 a few days later.
Wow. Okay, thank you, Tammy.
We're going to sort of take a short break. We'll come back to this story because there is a victory at the end because God is a God of promise and faithfulness. But we're going to talk a lot about what you've been through since, this concept of ambiguous loss. That struck me when I read that, and I'd never heard that term before, and I really want to press in and understand, what is that? And what have you done? What has God done? Keeping your family together. We want to hear all about it. Please stay with us. Thank you.
beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We're joined today by Pat and Tammy McLeod. Pat has served as the Metro Director of Crew Boston, where he combines a love of teaching, coaching, building teams with a passion for mentoring and ministering college students. Tammy has helped launch and lead campus ministries in many places: California, Japan, Montana, Russia, and even Boston, Massachusetts. Based on their life experience with their son, Zach, which we just began to talk about before the break, they've recently published a book, an amazing book called Hit Hard, One Family's Journey of Letting Go of What Was and Learning to Live Well with What Is. We talked a little bit before the break, Pat and Tammy, about the phone call and the night of Zach's injury, the result that he would never be the same. But he was saved.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst possible scenario did not happen that night.
Yeah.
And then you talk in your book a little bit, and you teach about this concept of ambiguous loss. Can you tell us what that is, what God has taught you in that?
Yeah. So I tried for about 5 years to figure out how our loss was different than loss to death. So I was reading books on grief, and they just weren't helping, because our son didn't die, but he was still alive, but not the same. Mm. And I eventually called Spalding Rehab and said, can you help me? I want to write a research paper on this type of loss that we're experiencing, but I don't know the term to research.
Yeah.
And the next day they called back and said, the term for your type of loss is ambiguous loss. Mm. And the librarian sent me links and the author to the articles was Pauline Boss, and she's the person who coined the term ambiguous loss in the 1970s and wrote about it in 1999 in a book by that name. Mm. And when I opened that book and started reading it, I was so excited because finally someone understood me.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about two kinds of loss. And she said the first type of ambiguous loss is when you don't have the person, but you have them psychologically in your mind.
Mm.
So that would be like kidnapped kids, people lost in wartime.
Wow.
Nobody knows where they are. But even in like divorce, adoption, immigration, so those would be other examples. And then the second type is when you have the person, but you don't have them the same way cognitively or emotionally.
Yeah.
So examples would be Alzheimer's, dementia, traumatic brain injury, addiction, mental illness. So there are so many examples of ambiguous loss. And the big point to me as I was reading the book, there is no linear process of letting go. And rarely is there acceptance, and there's never closure. So Boss talks about it being the most stressful kind of loss, and those are some of the reasons why.
Wow. I mean, I can't imagine because I've never been there, but can you share with us what issues were the most difficult in the early years to tackle? And how did you remain unified? Yeah. How did you do this?
Yeah, that ends up being kind of the conflict of the book, is that, you know, in fact, Boss says in her book that the real difficulty and the challenge of dealing with an ambiguous loss is that you actually have to learn to live well with both having and not having someone the way you once had them. And that's very difficult. It's you usually are going to do just one or the other or neither, and it's even more complicated when one of you is doing one and the other is doing the other. In other words, one is maybe living well and revising their attachment to the person they still have, but maybe denying the real loss that they've experienced, and the other is really honestly grieving as if the person is dead, but failing to revise the attachment to the person who's still there. And that's really the story of our journey into this world of ambiguous loss.
Wow. Yeah. So as you...
One thing...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just one thing that helped us stay together in it was going to grief counseling. And we decided that whenever we would get in a conflict about this having, not having, we would just hold it, and we would deal with the conflict in the grief counseling session so that someone else could help us navigate it. And so I really appreciated the grief counseling, and the phrase that stood out to me most was, be gentle.
So good.
Yeah, I think if I could add to that, I think the... I do agree that actually seeing a counselor was good because it created a safe space for us to work through our conflict. And, you know, you just fight more fairly when there's someone there observing and giving feedback and you're more gentle with each other. And so that was, and plus, you know, those people who have seen these kinds of scenarios have a lot of wisdom, and that this person definitely did. I think too that, you know, Tammy stumbling across the wisdom of someone who had done so much counseling in the area of ambiguous loss and wrote about it, coined the term. I just feel like it helped us to validate these complicated emotions and reveal the difficult challenges that we were not only experiencing as individuals, but relationally in the midst of our own ambiguous loss.
Pat, were Zach's siblings a part of the counseling? How did they deal with it?
That's a great question, Suzanne. That was we tried. We tried to get them all, and if we could do it all over again, we probably would have just made it, insisted that it happen. The kids were going through so much. It was like I just felt like being more gentle with them than I probably should have been. We should have insisted on it, but they were going through it. And interestingly, it's been actually in the writing of this book that has, you know, this is one of the great things about story is that it does have a good story, has a way of surfacing and softening some of the hard emotions of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, when you see people that are kind of validating your own experience and you see yourself in the story. And I think that's what the book has done for especially our son, Soren, who I think just needed and is now telling us, I think I'm ready now. I should have done this before, but the book has helped me realize that I have some unresolved pain emotionally that I want to start seeing a counselor to help work through it.
When was the book published? How old is it?
So Pauline Boss's book was 1999, and her second book,
I think she was asking about our book.
I believe it was 2000.
Yes, I was talking about Hit Hard.
Six. But then Hit Hard, we just launched it this past summer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So good. What is... You know, you've been through so much and absolutely researched and studied, and that's amazing. What is your relationship with Jesus now that you have walked through this fire?
Yeah, I'm a lot different. I was hoping that Zach would be healed miraculously. I was praying for it, and you never know, God can still do that at any time.
Sure.
But until I had suffered, I didn't realize how many people are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt like I was initiated into this world where people had already been dealing with a lot of stuff, but I hadn't yet.
Wow.
And so I have more compassion for people who are suffering. Yeah. I have a whole section in a chapter that I talk about the changes in my life, but... Yeah. That's one of the biggest ones. And the other one is, through this whole thing, I felt God's nearness in suffering. So I never doubted him or felt his distance between him and I. But
nice.
I felt the nearness. So, for example, there's this one verse that stood out to me. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, Psalm 34. And that is in my experience. So basically, I would be just falling on my face on my bedroom floor, bawling, crying, reading, and just reading the Psalms and letting them wash over me with God's truth and hope. So God really kept me alive through the Psalms. So I would say my relationship with God grew a lot deeper and stronger through suffering. And then ministry-wise, I just understand people's sufferings better. So I know how to just be quiet and listen to them and be with them in their suffering instead of trying to fix them or solve their problems or whatever.
So good. We're listening to Pat and Tammy McLeod and their journey of letting go of what was and learning to live well with what is. A book that they wrote titled Hit Hard, really a testimony to the life that they've led since their son Zach was injured, permanently brain injured in a football accident. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about the book, Hit Hard. Hear about some of the new ministry work that they've been able to birth, and just celebrate with them the many miracles that God continues to do through this family's life. Please stay with us. We're at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this message in its entirety, download it, share it with others who you believe need to hear this word. It's a good one, and we hope you stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a here in studio with Suzanne Maurer. We're sitting in for Danny Yamashiro today. Pat and Tammy McLeod are joining us today with their story. They're co-authors of the book Hit Hard, One Family's Journey of Letting Go of What Was and Learning to Live Well with What Is. They have also continued their passion to serve the Lord through many different ministries on campus there at Harvard, as well as internationally. We talked in the last segment with Tammy a bit about what the Lord has done and how that this has affected her relationship with Jesus. Pat, I wanted to talk a little bit about your journey, and it's especially interesting because you have a love for sports, and football was in your blood, if you will, growing up, and such a passion of yours. How did that change, and how was your relationship with Jesus through this?
Well, I have been, I would begin by saying that I have been actually asked often since this book has come out about how a tragedy like this, when you see someone you love so much and your own child suffer a life-changing injury like this, like how it has it shaken your faith. And in fact, a lot of people, one guy in particular here in Boston, a radio talk show host for Boston, probably the most popular evening talk show host, that asked me this question, and he just kept coming back to it because he was getting this answer that, you know, no, it hasn't really shaken our faith. And finally I said, there have been many times in my life where I've struggled and doubted my faith, but none of those happened during this. Mm-hmm. To the contrary, like, of the three or of the four times in my life where I have felt closest to God and almost, you know, these were moments of just feeling like I was in the tangible presence of a living God, mm-hmm. that were remarkable moments in life. Three of those happened since Zach was injured, and mm-hmm. they happened to me. They happened when I was least expecting them. But, mm-hmm. but the way that God met me in those moments was different than in any other time of my life, because the God that I met in those moments was not the sort of unmoved mover of Aristotle, this sovereign Caesar-like God. It was, to the contrary, it was a crucified God, a God who suffered, a God who came into this world and suffered in order to rescue us from an eternity of suffering. And that's how, that was the God that met me in the midst of this, a God who came to carry my sorrows away, who understood my pain, who could sympathize with watching his own son suffer. I mean, that was, there were just some incredible moments. Wow. And I would say, too, I've had a transformed vision of what it means to be healed, too, just watching that it's not just healing. To me, is no longer simply about restoring the health of a person, but it's about the entrance into the peace and the joy and the love and the life of God's presence. That's what we've witnessed with God. It's not about God removing that suffering, really, but rather transforming it and making him, allowing us and allowing Zach to experience that joy, peace, and right.
You know, reading about your work and what you've done since, I'm also amazed that in the midst of your own journey with your family, and I imagine it's a commitment of time and resource to live this new normal in your household. But in the midst of that, you birthed a ministry, or you co-birthed, I would say, an initiative, Mama Lodi, and what caused you, or what moved you to do that?
And what is it?
So Tammy's pointing to me, so I'll tell you that it started before Zach was birthed. Zach actually wanted to drop out of school, move to South Africa, get married to a Black South African and adopt 10 AIDS orphans in the township. That's where he honestly is. His first words when he came out of a coma and could actually, he couldn't even speak and can still barely speak, but he pointed to the letters of a typewriter and he said, "Don't go back to Africa without me."
Oh.
That was
Zach.
And so, so we basically have created, we tried to get as close as we could to what we knew to be the pandemic of our generation, or of this student's generation, and that is the AIDS pandemic that was sweeping across sub-Saharan Africa at that time. It was at its peak when we started this, and as we got closer, we found that the one thing that we could do that really could bring uplift and could bring help was help children, many of whom don't have one or both of their parents, stay in school and improve their English, improve their math, and pass an exam that will actually get them into college. And so that's what the Mama Lodi Initiative is. This is going to be our, I guess, 11th or 12th year going back to Mama Lodi. We'll be taking students from Harvard and some other schools in the Boston area. Yeah. And that's one thing Boston just has so much of.
Yes.
It just has this intellectual resources, extraordinary resources. And we take them over there in a place where they have this extraordinary sort of human capital, or relational and interpersonal capital, that exists in the townships. These impoverished, like materially impoverished, but relationally rich township culture. You know, it's very much a give and take. Like our students are more alive than they've ever been alive when they're there connecting and forming relationships and getting off their devices, and but they also are helping these students learn how to study and learn how to, you know, do math and speak English better and read English better. Anyway, that's what the Mama Lodi Initiative does.
That is so good. As you speak, I just feel like this is the seed planted. And an amazing seed planted long ago by Zach in your family's future. It's amazing.
Has Zach been able to go with you?
Yes, we took him after a few years of healing. And so he loved being back. We went back to the home for children with disabilities. And he still connected with all those kids the same way that he did when he was there the first time. So to watch him as he interacted with them was a highlight. So we got to do what he wanted to do, get him back to Africa.
We are so thankful for you. We are truly out of time and could do an entire new show based on just this last segment. But we have about, we seriously have about 30 seconds. And would you mind praying before we close off?
Yes, I'll pray for us.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for this time together. We're so grateful for how you worked in each of our lives, drawing us to you. Mm-hmm. And we ask that anyone who is listening today, who doesn't know you yet, would come to know you even right now, today, in this moment, that they would experience your love and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Inspiring and powerful testimony from Pat and Tammy McLeod. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so yourself, today is the perfect day. Open your heart to Jesus. Accept him into your life. Start that personal relationship with him. He is all you need for everything you face. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. It'll give you more information. To help us with your financial support, if you'd like to make a donation, but especially for prayer, please go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on partners, and become a partner of ours. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It is always a blessing to be with you. We want to thank our guests, Pat and Tammy McLeod. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Jazz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.